live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. قلب سليم.
Sound Heart. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Voice of the Cape 91.3 FM. I'm Taslima Ali, and I'm with you until 4 today. And of course, in the first segment, we spend it with Maulana Muhammad Ismail Taufi. Assalamu alaikum, Maulana.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Well, see, Maulana is even doing it like a natural now.
Yes. Oh. I'm settling in now with the idea. I'm feeling like a presenter today, mashallah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, just for those that don't know, Maulana is the assistant imam at Masjid al-Sabr. He has been teaching for about 17 to 18 years, mashallah. He has also been teaching at Goodwood prison. He's also I think you what is it, you're furthering your studies as
inshallah, hopefully inshallah. To go further with a theology degree, inshallah.
So is this your honors?
Honors, yes, inshallah.
Mashallah, that is really, really wonderful, and inshallah may Allah make it easy.
I mean,
most of all, Maulana, may Allah bring you into the company of so many that could learn from the lessons that you share, inshallah.
Oh, alhamdulillah, subhanallah. I don't know what to say.
Today, I'm feeling emo.
I'm sure there's better ulama than myself out there, so.
Allah bless you, and Allah bless all of our mashayikh, inshallah. Maulana, today is our last.
Yes, and we're going to end off with the lessons of yesterday, carrying on with the tongue, so we're still carrying on with it, lessons, inshallah.
Inshallah. So Maulana has been focusing on Surah Taha.
Yes.
And over this past few weeks, it's been, it's been so gratifying for those that are able to tune in at this time, because there's so much to learn from the Holy Quran, and every time, no matter who we listen to, there's something new that we pick up. And alhamdulillah, it really, really has been an education over this past few
weeks. And I think that was the idea, Taslima, to get to a point where we, like we said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ, don't you reflect and ponder over this Quran, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reaching out to us to reflect over the Quran.
Yeah.
So hopefully this will be encouragement for myself and for the listeners also to tune in more with the Quran as well.
Well, talking about tuning in, since the first lecture with Maulana has been promoting and receiving a free Quran, and it's such a beautiful platform. Many people have been messaging in to ask what the proper address is, and so it is myfreequran.net.
Yes.
Am I right? It's a project run by whom, Maulana?
What's it called? Imam Development Project, right?
So which you are part of.
Yes, I'm part of them.
What
as
is
well.
The Imam Development Project?
Mashallah, they a group of an organization. Headed by Sheikh Bilal Ismail, who's from Durban, and they basically try to assist the imams, from different areas, to develop them in skills such as public speaking, and various other things.
Well, mashallah.
And also, making things easy for them with regards to, we don't have like medical aid and all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
So, they provide go see a doctor and speak to the doctor if they can provide for the imams.
That's
that is linked with to take the family, the dentists and stuff like that.
Mashallah, that's wonderful.
Alhamdulillah, it's last year. I think we were about 20 something imams. It was taken by Imam Development Project for Umrah.
Mashallah.
And I was one of them. So alhamdulillah, it was a Subhanallah, it was a marvelous experience too.
This project sounds absolutely amazing. And
it is amazing.
Hopefully, at a later date, we can actually get to know them a bit better, inshallah. So, Molina, though, coming back to where we are and what we've been doing on Qalb-e Salim, on Madrasa on Air, because subhanallah, these weeks have just flown. It's really, really, really gone quite fast.
Yes, it is.
But of course, Molina, you've been speaking to us about the Holy Quran, and you've been relaying to us how it was revealed to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I think something that really stood out for me is that we are able to then see how compassionate Allah is.
Wallah.
And that I never ever thought before, until Molina had told us on VOC, that the story of Nabi Musa alayhi salam is also relayed to the Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to bring him ease.
Yes.
And I never ever thought, okay, why? Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. So
And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gave the Quran to us, you know, as a means of comforting, you know, our souls, and you know, when we in difficult strides in our life, and also as guidance as well. So definitely the lessons that was taught by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to all the prophets for thousands of years can still apply today.
Indeed, because they had difficulties. They were real people.
Definitely. And sometimes people, they think that, you know, the prophets were like some superhuman being, but you know, they also died, and they also cried, and they also bled, and they also had the you know, sadness and happiness in their lives. They were human beings just like us, only of a better nature, but they also were human beings. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, some of the arguments that the kuffar threw against Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was that, you know, if you, why did Allah choose you? Couldn't Allah send the angel? And then the response of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, you know, if there was angels walking on this earth, then we would have indeed sent Malak al-Rasulah. We would have sent an angel as a messenger. But you're human beings, so we send someone like you.
Subhanallah. Molina was explaining to us, and so today are we wrapping up on Surah Taha?
Yes. In actual fact, we sidetracked a bit. We busy with the tongue, you know, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa some beautiful advice, and so we're just capitalizing on the advice that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Musa, you know, trying to extend some few lessons from that as well. So we went to Surah Hujarat, the 49th surah in the Quran, and then we went to, I think we spoke about nicknames yesterday, in where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, wala talmizu anfusakum, you know, do not insult each other, you know, belittle each other. وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ, you know, do not give each other bad nicknames. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَتُبَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اجْتَنِبُوا كَثِيرًا مِنَ الظَّنِّ. Very important aspect also of the advices that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. If we recall yesterday, we spoke about the brotherhood that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to in the Quran, and keeping that brotherhood. And then immediately after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah 49, chapter 49, verse 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts explaining all those things that breaks unity. You know, mocking people, giving nicknames, insulting, you finding fault, you know, with people, finding fault with people. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says one of the things is, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann. Oh, you believe? Abstain from the suspicions. You know, many times we have overactive imagination when it comes to people. You know, you see someone walking in by someone's place, and it, immediately you have the book to tell about that walking in to that someone's place. You know, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, ijtanibu kathiran min adh-dhann, abstain from this suspicions. Inna ba'da dhanni ithmun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, because all of these suspicions is leading to sin. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wala tajassasu, and do not also spy on one another. And when people they conduct themselves with all these bad qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about, they mock. One group is mocking another group. You know, they find fault with people. They give people bad nicknames. They spy on people. They have suspicions of other people. When people are engaging in these things, it is also an idea where the person feels that he is better than the next person. So when you're engaging in these acts, you're finding fault. You are mocking people. You are giving bad nicknames to people. Het jy gesien? Kyk vir eie kop weer, eie kop sou weer afweer vandag. You know, as soon as you start giving bad nicknames to people, then you know you just. They say when Hitler them started to wanted to persecute the Jews, one of the very first things they did was vilification. You know, giving them nicknames. You know, making fun of their noses, etc., etc. To take, you know, respect out of the people's eyes for them. And then the persecution started. And this is part of the tactics that we use in our workplaces, in our homes, in families. You want to start create a feud between people or a split, a separation, you use these qualities. You mock them. You do what Hitler did, vilification. You do all of these things, give bad nicknames. It's a gesien, Buddha, Ang Palas, we are Pisaha. So, you know, you start giving nicknames that is bad for the people, and then a group of people, they withdraw, and then, you know, this. You will see it in masajid, you will see it everywhere you go. People are guilty of these things, and I'm not excluding myself. I'm just saying that these are the things that is causing disunity. And what a person should always bear in mind is that if he is busy with these qualities, he consider himself to be better than the rest. You know, so this is a very important thing. All of these advices that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving, wala tajassasu, do not spy on someone else. Because as soon as you find out what the person's bad deeds is, no kan ek bitter voel oor myself, because I've seen him doing this, I've seen her doing that. So now I can feel better about myself, you know. So don't spy on one another. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a very important advice further. وَلَا يَخْتَبْ بَعْدُكُمْ بَعْضًا. You know, do not backbite. أَيُحِبُّ أَحَدُكُمْ أَن يَأْكُلَ لَحْمَ أَخِيهِ مَيْتًا فَكَرِهْتُمُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do not gossip. Do not backbite. Do not talk about each other behind each other's backs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, would you love that you should eat the meat of your dead brother? Would you love doing that? No one would. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, it is as if you are eating the dead meat of your brother if you're talking behind his back. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah with regards to your tongue. And this is why we're striving in the month of Ramadan. We are striving for the taqwa. We are striving for the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, striving for the consciousness of Allah. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, if you want to attain the taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to, kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. We've prescribed upon you fasting like we've prescribed it on those before you. Then what do Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? What's the purpose? La'allakum tattaqoon. What's the purpose? So that you can attain taqwa. Ittaqullah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wattaqullah. After Allah speaks about this slandering, backbiting, gossiping about other people, which is bad qualities indeed. So, Taslima, one learned person, he says that beautiful thing. When you look at the description that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives about ghibah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Atadaruna mal ghibah?" He asked the Sahaba, do you know what is ghibah? So the Sahaba, they said, they responded to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by saying, Allah wa Rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Messenger knows best. And then Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he explained what ghiba is. And he says that it is mentioning your brother, mentioning something about your brother that he would dislike. So the hadith doesn't stop there. The hadith goes further. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by one of the companions, O Rasulullah, what if the thing that I'm mentioning about my brother, what if it is true? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you know, perhaps the person in his mind, he had an idea that if I'm mentioning something that is a lie about my brother, that is ghiba. So now he's asking clarification. He wants clarification. O Nabi of Allah, what if the thing that I'm speaking about my brother is actually true? For example, he is boasting about money that he's giving out, or he is, you know, loud when he's speaking, or he is always laughing for everything, whatever the case may be. So he's asking, O Rasulullah, what if the thing that I'm mentioning about my brother is actually true? So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you are mentioning something about him that he dislikes and it is true, then indeed that is ghiba. And if you have fabricated something against him, now you have fabricated, you know, you like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word buhtan and awdim for Aisha radhiallahu anha, when they slandered against her, they fabricated against her this lie that she, you know, committed zina with a particular person, sahabi. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls that the buhtan, you know, because it's a lie, it's a fabrication. So not only are you making ghiba, but you are fabricating something against your Muslim brother. So it's beyond ghiba now. You know, so this is an important thing, a description that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives. So ghiba, if it is true what you are saying, and listen to this. When I'm saying something, we know how people are. Ek praat maar net die waarheid. You know, ek is 'n persoon wat leks leens vertel nie. But ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this ghiba is a sin. Is a sin, it's haram for a person to commit ghiba. When a person is engaging in ghiba, is committing a haram act. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it haram for you to do what? To speak the truth about a brother that he might dislike. And we all know how we are about the truth. Because even Allah said bitter. We know how people are when it comes to speaking the truth. I'm just saying the truth. So all of these things is truth. But when I'm hurting my Muslim brother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, that's haram. So when you're mentioning something about your Muslim brother that he will find offensive, that he would dislike, then it's haram for you to mention that thing. So on the one side, Taslima, we have something that is haram, but you're speaking the truth. Then you will find another hadith where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know how bad lying is. Right? Truthfulness in Islam is always a good thing, and lying is always a bad thing. But here, truthfulness, when you hurt someone by being truthful, speaking bad about that person, it is haram. And then there's another occasion where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we know lying is bad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curses the people that lies. But there's a hadith where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it is permissible to lie. When? For example, he who settles a disagreement or disagreements between people to bring about a good or saying something commendable is not a liar. I'm going to repeat the hadith. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, he who settles disagreements between people to bring about good or says something commendable is not a liar. So now, on the one hand, we have truthfulness, it is always a good thing. On the other hand, we have lying, that is a bad thing. But here, truthfulness in ghiba, it becomes a bad thing. And lying here becomes a good thing. So what is the common denomination here? The common denominator is unity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves unity so much that Allah made it haram for you to speak the truth when it hurts your brother. When you speak about him and you ghiba about him, if it's going to hurt him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it haram. And lying is bad, but Allah makes it permissible for you to lie when you want to bring unity between two people. So on the one hand, truthfulness becomes bad, and on the other hand, lying becomes bad. When? It is to disrupt unity. So unity in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very important aspect of a Muslim's life. And we should always try to achieve unity wherever we go. And sometimes, you know, people, unfortunately, we don't live in the time of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anymore, where we have this one Rasul that we're following in Khilafat, etc. So disagreement between people doesn't necessarily mean this unity. You know, so if there's two organizations is doing the same thing, alhamdulillah, you carry on with the beautiful work that you're doing. If there's two of whatever, people should learn that unity doesn't mean that, okay, now let's everyone work together under this one thing and no one do something else anymore. That's not unity. That's uniformity. You know, so Islam is all for unity. Not everything should be now one anymore. It's difficult to achieve this uniformity. However, if we apply the rules of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we apply the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then indeed whatever we do, we'll come to a place and you will find there's five madrasas in this one place, all orchestrated by different people. Alhamdulillah, the more the merrier, if everyone's intentions is good, alhamdulillah. If we can work under one banner, alhamdulillah. But we know how difficult it is. In nowadays today, we find people, they're arguing over the silliest things. So they separate and they start their own thing. If the intention is good, then alhamdulillah, carry on. Do the good work. You know, just make sure that there's no disunity amongst each other. Unity is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves for this ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants unity for this ummah. So we should always be from amongst those people who are striving for it. Don't be from amongst the people who is always looking for arguments, always looking to argue with people. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says in the hadith that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person who's in an argument, he knows he is right, but he forgoes the right of being right and he just keeps quiet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives that person a Jannah in the middle of Jannah, a house in the middle of Jannah. Just for what? He knows he's right in this particular argument, but he forgoes that right and he lets it go. He says, okay, you may win, it's okay, it's fine. You rather be the better person than me, you win. Just for doing that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants him a house in the middle of Jannah.
And of course, we're concluding on the Madrasa on a segment with Mawlana, where Mawlana has been covering Surah Taha. Well, Mawlana, we've got some SMSs that had come through.
Okay.
The one says, Salaams, Mawlana, I just adore this program because Hiba, so much going around, and they like to say Moiliyava. But those who say that are the people who Hiba the most. Shikran, shikran.
Yes, it's a common thing in our community. Imam Nawawi actually, he mentions in his book of Adhkar, he mentions that slander and tailbearing are two of the ugliest and most frequently met with qualities among men, few people being safe from them, and that's why he says that he have begun with them because of the widespread need to warn people of them. So ghibah is a serious problem, and we don't sometimes realize because we use the tongue so frequently every day, and we tend to forget, you know, all the harms that we're causing. And if we go through the book of Imam Nawawi, then we will see all the harms that is listed. One pious person, he was asked, how many defects do you see in insan, in human beings, in the son of Adam? so. He said that the defects that I've seen is too many to count. But from what I've counted, is 8,000.
Sure.
So he said, 8,000? He says, yes. And I've seen that if this insan just do one thing, he just does one thing and then it fixes that 8,000 defects. So the person asked, what is this one thing? So he said, control his tongue. When you control your tongue, subhanallah, many of the things that you are guilty of, you know, and it's not only riba, there's so many other things that the tongue is doing that is wrong in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person may say something that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much, then it ends him up in the highest place, and he ends up in the happiness and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ends up in the highest place in Jannah. But then also a person can say something that offends Allah so badly that it ends him up in Jahannam. In Sahaba, you know, Sahaba used to be very careful of this matter. There was an incident in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had a dream. So he dreamed that they're going for Umrah. This was the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the issue of the Hudaybiyah that took place. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went with the Sahaba and he went to Hudaybiyah, and then he met with the Kufar of Makkah. So they stopped him, and they gave a few, you know, reasons why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam shouldn't go for Umrah this year. So they signed a treaty, and they told Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, listen, one of the things the agreement of this treaty should be, anyone who in your area embraces or wants to leave Islam, you should send them to us. Don't do anything to them and send them to us. And anyone in our area that embraces Islam, we will stop them and we'll keep them here. So that's an unfair thing. And many unfair things was given. So after that, Umar radiallahu anhu came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was infuriated, this kuffar of Makkah, they're giving us unfair conditions. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, oh Rasulullah, aren't you the messengers of Allah? He said, yes. Aren't they the kuffar? He said, yes. That all this conditions that they've given is unfair. You know?
Well, Maulana, we've just got a few minutes, so I don't know how far Maulana is on wrapping up, because we'd really also like to just do an overview of everything that we've done.
Yes, inshallah. So just to as a reminder of the usage of the tongue, is indeed a grave sin. You know, I think the worst kind of sin that a person can commit is with the tongue. All the person needs to do is say, oh, I believe in three Allahs, with his tongue. He's a mushrik, you know. So the tongue is truly something where the pious predecessors, they said, it's a small piece of flesh, but it causes the greatest of crimes. It can commit the greatest of crimes. So in this incident of Hudaybiyah, Umar radiallahu anhu was just, you know, a bit frustrated with in his eyes that you know, this was a bit unfair conditions that the kuffar is giving, presenting to the Muslims. So he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a few questions. You know, aren't you the Prophet of Allah? Aren't they the kuffar? Aren't we the believers? Aren't we in the right? Aren't they in the wrong? Then why did we disgrace ourselves with this? You know, why did we agree with this conditions that they just gave us? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you said that we will go for Umrah. And then afterwards, Umar radiallahu an, he says that after this engagement with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he didn't understand what was happening. So after this engagement, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or rather Umar radiallahu an, he says that ever since he spoke to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way that he did in Hudaybiyah. And remember, he didn't swear and curse and, you know, raise his voice. He just asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was frustrated, but he couldn't express his anger. So he asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, aren't we on the right path and they on the wrong? So he couldn't express his anger to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he loved Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to him, on face level, face value, it seemed like this is wrong. So he said to Nabi, so he says that after that incident, I could never ever stop giving sadaqah, setting free a slave, etc., etc. You know, so just to warn that this is the usage of the tongue. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is sahaba and how they protected themselves from, you know, even when they spoke wrong, they would give sadaqah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us also the opportunity to save ourselves from, you know, uttering wrongful and hateful words against each other, inshallah.
Ameen. Well, wow, Mawlana, it's been absolutely amazing. But before we wrap up, I just want to get in this one question that had come through. Somebody asked, my siblings pays my mom's fitrah. Can my mom receive fitrah from someone?
My siblings pays my mom's fitrah.
So can she receive fitrah from someone?
Who's taking care of the mom?
I don't know. So those things need to be taken into consideration.
No, it's she can take the fitrah, Okay. But you know, when it comes to her turn giving fitrah again, then she must give fitrah.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Sure. Well, Mawlana, sure, it's been amazing few weeks in your company, and of course, having to spend it in the Holy Quran with all of these beautiful jewels and lessons, mashallah. I know that Mawlana can be found at Parkwood Masjid,
yes,
as the assistant imam of Masjid al-Sabr, but I really do hope that inshallah we'll be finding you again really soon on the airwaves of Voice of the Cape.
Inshallah.
But Mawlana, I'm going to give you an opportunity, because I'm sure your family and your loved ones and all of your community has been tuned in over the weeks, and every time I see you, you get to tell me a different message from a different person.
Yeah.
So take this time and do a shout out.
Okay. I've never done this before, so let's try.
Okay.
The very special person to me is my wife. Widat Taufi.
Okay,
yeah.
Mashallah.
Always the in my corner, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give her the strength and the sabr for what she's been through just prior to Ramadan. And she knows that I'm standing with her.
Mm-hmm.
And that, alhamdulillah, whenever my wife is such a person that she would also dress me, otherwise I would look like a person that just fell into the Vashud Manchi and just stood up again, you know. Fridays and every single day working hard at home. And alhamdulillah, she made some sacrifice with me also being on the radio. So definitely to her and my children and my father as well. And my father-in-law and mother-in-law, especially my mother-in-law, I'm sure she's also listening today.
Now you're scoring points.
Yeah. You know, normally mother-in-law and you know, when it comes to your mother-in-law, there's always something bad that you want to say, but I can't say it over the air.
Oh, my word. You're so naughty, Mawlana.
I'm joking. Yeah. She knows that I love her, and she's also a very good person, mashallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To all those who have supported and, you know, listen, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that we should reach this month, inshallah, with the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also for Auntie Zarina for granting me this opportunity. Shukran to Voice of the Cape as well, and Taslima and Auntie Abida and all of the, you know, people that made this program a success, mashallah. Affording me this opportunity to be on air with the listeners, alhamdulillah, jazakallah.
Oh, Mawlana, that is a winner of a speech. Almost Miss World over here, alhamdulillah, but definitely almost making me cry. But Mawlana, subhanAllah, it's been amazing being in your company. And I think one of the blessings of being a presenter on Voice of the Cape is that we are always brought into the company of those that teach us so, so much. And may Allah bless you and bless your entire family and the community of Parkwood, inshallah. And have a beautiful evening. Inshallah, you so, so deserve it. But we've got a message that came through. It says, where is it? Salams, Mawlana, a most blessed Eid. Ameen. Well, of course, Guess what? News is a bit delayed, so we get to have you on for another minute or two.
Okay. So yes, to all the listeners, I believe there was one Buddha in our masjid. He said his wife's name is Habiba. Elderly lady, I'm thinking I'm correct. She always listens to. She stays in fairways.
Assalamualaikum,
you know, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a complete shifa also, inshallah.
Ameen.
You know, for what she's struggling with currently, I'm not at liberty to mention it over Shukran Aunty Habiba for listening always, mashallah.
Wow.
We appreciate everyone listening, alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Well, Malena, it's been, of course, quite an enlightening journey for myself. And, of course, you also go back to teaching at Goodwood Prison as
Yes, afternoon madrasa.
I'm not sure if they get to listen as well.
Yes, if they have a radio, then yes, definitely.
Okay.
Also, just to before we end off, for all the people in Pargut who's listening, tonight, inshallah, Masjid al-Sabr will be having a nice buka treat for everyone, you know, and we'll be having pies and samosas, drinks and faluda and so we want everyone there, inshallah, from Pargut. If you're out of Pargut,
Aunty Habiba is now going booba. Alhamdulillah. Well, we've got another message. It says, and shukran for your wonderful contribution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless Maulana abundantly. Ameen.
Shukran for that sister
or brother.
Yes,
inshallah. Well, Maulana, that's almost bringing us to the end. I just want to add on one more time that people should go onto myfreequran.net and go and get yourself this free Quran delivered to your door for free. Another message. Lastly, before we cross the news, Assalamu alaikum. Oh my word, I'm almost in tears here. Well, me too, sister. We can only say shukran to Maulana. Lessons was very, very informative. Alhamdulillah. May Allah always keep you blessed and protected. Ameen.
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Qalb Salim.
Sound heart.